Welcome to the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast. My name is Lisa A. Romano. I am a life coach, best-selling author, YouTube vlogger, meditation teacher, and expert in the field of codependency and narcissistic abuse. I am a believer in the power of an organized mind. My aim is to help people learn what it means to live above the veil of consciousness rather than living a reactive life. May your heart feel blessed, your mind feel expanded, and your spirit find hope as you spend time with me here at the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast. So today we're going to be talking about why narcissists thrive in chaos.
So I've been wanting to do a video about narcissism and chaos for a long time. And I think it's important that we see that people who generally bring chaos or drama to life, to the office, to relationships, to shopping, right? Have you ever been in a department store or at a store like Target and you see someone who is just absolutely giving the checkout person a hard time and it's over something very simple, very mundane, but there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of chaos, and the person causing the drama has a wife and some kids or a husband and some kids, and they're just mortified. And we can see that when we get kicked out of narcissistic relationships, and if we get further enough from this tornado, one of the things that we'll notice is pretty characteristic of a narcissistic relationship is this theme of chaos. There's always some crisis happening. And you end up being someone who feels like you have to walk around on eggshells. You end up feeling like you have to leave yourself, you have to detach from yourself in order to manage the moods of this other person. You will feel exhausted. You will feel exasperated by the person that you've been in a relationship with. If this is your daughter-in-law, if this is your son-in-law, you as an in-law or someone who feels like you've lost your child to this narcissistic person. If your child is under the spell or in a trauma-bonded situation and doesn't recognize what they're dealing with, you will feel lost. You will hear your child complain about the drama that their spouse is creating in their life, and you will feel helpless. There will be issues with the children where the person with high narcissism is threatening to keep the children away from you or even away from the spouse. So there is the threat of parental alienation. And what does this do? This creates a lot of drama in the life of the person who is not only narcissistic, but the person who loves the narcissist or the family members of someone who has pathological narcissism. And this is really destabilizing. I say this all the time to my husband when we talk about these topics, that it absolutely blows my mind that you could have an extended family of 50 to 100 people even, and have one highly narcissistic person in the group who then infects the entire family system. You have one person who, no matter what is going on in their life, chaos just occurs. And what is really maddening is the person creating the chaos refuses to accept that they are bringing the chaos into their life. So there's a lot of blaming other people, a lot of odd rationalization. I mean, when you're dealing with someone who is pathologically narcissistic, you are completely exasperated, exhausted, scratching your head most of the time. You can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't think, because you're trying to make sense out of their cognitive distortions. They just don't make sense. They're nonsensical. But in the mind of the person who is highly narcissistic, they do make sense. And they appear very confident. And this can be rather mind-bending for someone who thinks they might be dealing with a narcissist, because the person that you're dealing with is so assured and seems so confident in what they're saying. You might be able to recognize this as projection when you have a lover who is accusing you of dolling yourself up because you want attention from someone at work. And that is not your intention. You just like to feel good about yourself. It has nothing to do with anyone else. But you may recognize that maybe this is your partner's thing. This is why your partner dresses well. Maybe this is why your partner does what he does or does what she does. You might, in the moment, have this incredible clarifying moment where you're saying that think to yourself, no, he or she is projecting. But what will happen is, in time, their confidence will cause you to doubt yourself. Because healthy people have a healthy dose of self-doubt. Having a healthy dose of self-doubt means that we're able to question our mindset. Am I wrong? Am I being narcissistic? Am I being unfair? That is tied to our personal moral compass because we don't want to come off that way. We care about how what we say affects other people. Not so with someone who is highly narcissistic and who is especially in or on the end of the spectrum and is now pathologically narcissistic. So it's important, I think, and I think there's tremendous value in identifying this concept of chaos. If you are in a relationship that seems to be chaotic, that needs to be a warning sign for you because healthy relationships should not be chaotic. In fact, healthy relationships are not chaotic. So it's really important that if you're scratching your head, if you're crying yourself to sleep, if you are wondering if you're going crazy, if you're dealing with someone who devalues you, if you're dealing with someone who exploits you, if you're dealing with someone who gaslights you, if you're living with someone that you are afraid of, not only physically, but emotionally, you're terrorized by the words that are going to come out of their mouth, by the accusations, by the insinuations, by the projections. It's really important. Level one, you recognize something's wrong and that this is not the way it's supposed to be. A lot of us have normalized chaos. A lot of us are like those frogs in the boiling pot of water, where we acclimate to this type of stress. We become acclimated to this chaos. It becomes something that we manage, something that we can even anticipate. But it is dysfunctional. It is toxic. It is soul crushing. It is life murdering. You are not living your authentic life when you are living out that paradigm, when you are trapped inside relationship dynamics with someone who is a malignant narcissist or someone who has pathological narcissism. You can't be your authentic self when you are in a relationship with this type of a person. You have to choose the narcissist. You have to dissociate from the self. You have to give up your I, which is spiritually demoralizing, which does nothing for your spiritual growth. In that it may create some level of contrast, some level of pain within you that can one day help you motivate and move beyond the narcissistic relationship. So I think it's really important that we recognize that chaos in our relationships is a giant red flag. And from there, we gain knowledge, we gain tools, we gain understanding, and even labels to help us better understand what we're dealing with. And that's one of the reasons I like to create these sessions, is because I think most of us don't have the language and the understanding of what's happening inside these toxic relationships. And learning about particular concepts, breaking it down, better understanding what's going on is extremely empowering. And so I wanted to break down 5 ways narcissists create chaos in your life and help you better understand what's really going on. I don't know about you, but the more I understood the why, the more I felt in control of my life because things began to make sense. it was no longer a needle in the haystack. It was like, okay, this is what's going on. This is classic passive aggressive behavior. This is stonewalling. This is gaslighting. This is devaluing. This is creating chaos in my life. And now I know why I feel so out of control, because I'm dealing with someone who is wired to not hear me. I'm dealing with someone who is wired to maintain power and control in the relationship. Therefore, I am dealing with someone who is incapable of meeting me halfway. And I am operating under the premise of wanting to meet this person halfway. So I am frustrated, which leads to a state of constriction, which is all about lack. And so no wonder I feel so stuck. No wonder I'm growing more and more depressed and despondent, because I cannot move my energy or my life from point A to point B. So creating, I hope you have your notebooks out, first of all, because we're going to be running through 5 ways that narcissists create chaos in your life. And I really hope that it hits home with you. And I really hope that it makes sense to you. And I really hope that it empowers you moving forward. So creating chaos in your life makes someone who has high levels of narcissism, feel important. Keeping you hanging on, for instance, through passive aggressive behavior, keeps the narcissist in control. If you've ever had to deal with a passive aggressive person, what you've noticed over time is that when you've wanted to discuss a marital issue, or maybe at work, you needed this person to contribute to the project to give you a definitive answer. It is not uncommon for a narcissist to pretend that they don't have time for you. It's not uncommon for a narcissist to pretend that what you think is silly, it's frivolous, and it's beneath them. They're just not going to talk about it. This creates chaos in your life. So a narcissist who is coming at you with passive aggressive behavior is going to create chaos in your life, because you cannot get from point A to point B. You don't realize, unless you recognize this person, oh, this is a narcissistic trait. You don't realize that the narcissist is maintaining a sense of dominance and control over you by keeping you hanging on to their every word. I remember feeling so stuck in my life, in my relationship with my ex, because we could not move from point A to point B. It could have been something as important as sealing up a hole in the ceiling after a tub leaked and waiting a year for him to finally make a decision with me on when we were going to fix the ceiling. And I didn't know at the time that I was dealing with a particular level of narcissism. It's not for me to diagnose, and I'm not diagnosing him. But after going through what I've been through and learning so much about codependency and the narcissistic dance, I recognize now that that was a way to exert dominance and control. That was the way he said, I'm in control of this house. I'm even in control of your level of satisfaction, because I know you want me to seal up that ceiling. So keeping you hanging on is a way that I have control over you. Narcissists will prevent you from being happy. If there's something that you want, a narcissist will go out of their way to not give it to you. Again, this is a way that they maintain dominance and control. It's passive aggressive. It's overt. It's not like the showboating narcissist who embarrasses you in front of your family and friends, but it's sort of like the closet narcissist who finds various ways to exercise dominance and control over you. So this theme of keeping you hanging on, making you feel like they are the one that has the final word in whatever decisions you have to make in the home, they have the final decision at work. You want to finish a project. You need your team member to give you certain analytics in order for you to be able to hand it into the manager. And the narcissist keeps you hanging on. This is them exercising dominance and control over you. This helps to booster their sense of importance. Even though it's frustrating you, and even though it's creating chaos in your life, it is serving their need to feel more important and more substantial than you. The next thing that you'll notice if you've been with a narcissist long enough is that their moods are often very unstable, and you will be blamed even for their depression. You will be blamed for their despondency. So we have to understand that a narcissist needs you to validate them. The narcissist needs you to bolster their mask. So one of the metaphors or the analogies that I use is your place in a narcissist's life is to hold up a mirror, and the mirror must reflect back to them their false image of self. So within in a narcissist's mind is an illusion of superiority, an illusion of grandiosity. Now, when they look into a mirror, that is the reflection that they need to see reflect back to them, which prevents them from feeling vulnerable. It is your job to hold this mirror up and to make the narcissist feel good about themselves. If you fail on any level to somehow make a narcissist feel important, it could be as simple as not answering a text message as soon as they fire it off. It could be not liking a picture of theirs on Instagram. It could be not noticing that they got a quarter of an inch of their hair cut that week. It could be as simple as not acknowledging that they did something for you on Instagram, because a narcissist needs to be praised. A narcissist relies on the praise of other people to make them feel important. And when you don't mirror back to them this idea that they're more significant, that they're more brilliant, that they're more beautiful, or they're more empathetic even, they're just better than everyone else. If you're not mirroring that back to them and making them feel important, it's not uncommon for someone who is really at the far end of the narcissistic spectrum to develop feelings of despondency, to become depressed, almost become as if they have no interest in life. And what will happen is this becomes your problem. So now you're dealing with someone who isn't aware that they are feeling despondent because their narcissistic supply has not been fed. And that is why they're suffering depression. And so you will deal with the snarky remarks. You will deal with their abusive behavior. You will have to deal with this person who refuses to go into therapy, who refuses to really pay attention to what it is that is at the root of their despondency. You will be blamed and you will be tortured, emotionally tortured, when this person goes through this cycle of feeling despondent. Unfortunately, someone in this situation will also find ways to make themselves feel better. So putting you down, ridiculing you, making you feel less than, exploiting you. Remember, narcissist or exploitative. They lack empathy and they devalue the people in their lives. So it's not uncommon for someone who is at the end of the narcissistic spectrum to find themselves feeling a little bit despondent when the world hasn't told them that they're amazing, to then look to bolster their sense of self by devaluing you. And this will create chaos in your life. Number three, piggybacking off of what I just shared, when a relationship with a narcissist begins to break down, they are going to blame shift other people. When you are in a situation where you're dealing with a narcissist and communication continues to break down, you try to hold the narcissist accountable. You say, I cannot do this anymore. You are insatiable. I cannot deal with the innuendos. I cannot hold your hand for the rest of your life. I cannot jump every time you say jump. It's not fair. I don't feel seen. I do not feel valued. I feel like you lack empathy. And woe to you if you dare to tell someone who has high narcissistic traits that they lack empathy. because they will turn it around on you and accuse you of not having empathy for them. It is a complete rabbit hole. That's why I always suggest to my personal clients, to my friends and my family, and I live by the golden rule. I don't argue with someone who I think has high narcissistic traits and who does not possess the ability to hear someone else's other's opinion, and who is such a narcissist that the idea that they are imperfect and have the ability to hurt other people is so debilitating to them and so offensive to them that they will lash out in revenge. I just don't waste my breath on those situations anymore. Now that I can pretty much pick up on narcissistic traits, I think if you study narcissism and even codependency, you will develop a sense for, oh, okay, that was narcissistic. Like I presented my case and this person just completely shut me down and then devalued me. Oh, I can recognize that as a form of narcissism or a narcissistic trait. And so now I can discern from this point of view and recognize that I really am wasting my breath if I try to come to this person and expect them to hear me, right? Because you would never seek water from a rock. You know that I'm not going to get water from a rock, so you're not going to waste your time. You know that a rock is a rock. You wouldn't stand there and talk to a wall, expecting the wall to open up so that you can move through it. And that is literally what you're dealing with when you're dealing with someone who has high narcissistic traits. So you will learn how to discern when you're dealing with someone who has high narcissism. Now, you have to understand that a narcissist is built to perceive themselves as perfect. So inside their head is this movie that they're superior, they're grandiose, they're the best, they're the most intelligent, everyone else is less than. So when you confront a narcissist, they take offense to that. They take that as a threat, a literal attack. And so they will attack you back. So you're not going to be heard. You are going to be attacked. You are going to be lied about. You will be smeared. And so again, I think it's important that we understand why a narcissist will do this, why they adopt this tactic, and it'll help you anticipate the moves of a narcissist after you've confronted them. You'll be able to actually let go a lot quicker when you realize, oh, this is par for the course. Before you recognize what you're dealing with, you might feel so upset and so enraged that this person has done these things. Oftentimes, I get messages on Facebook, on Instagram, and YouTube. How do I let go of this situation and feeling like this person is winning? And my answer is always, well, are we going to have a spiritual conversation or are we going to have a 3D matrix ego conversation? Because they're not the same thing. You'll never going to win with a narcissist. You are less than them. And so you're literally wasting your glorious energy. You're wasting your pretty. You're wasting your handsome. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting your golden Buddha. You're wasting your spirituality. You're wasting everything that is beautiful and joyous about you that you could be spending in a relationship that has the potential to be more nurturing, more respectful, more fair, and more harmonious. And so I think that when we realize we only have enough, we only have a certain amount of time on planet Earth, we never know when tomorrow will not be here. We never know when our day is going to be up. And so when you face your own mortality and you recognize like, wow, I have a choice here to make. I'm talking to a wall. And I'm wasting my breath. Like, how soon can I detach from this situation so that I am free to manifest a healthier relationship? Or at least I can detach and move away from this relationship and be healthier and happier and more harmonious in my own skin without having to deal with this chaotic, problematic personality in my life. So when you confront a narcissist, when you try to hold them accountable, be prepared for an attack. Be prepared for a smear campaign. Be prepared to let go. And in time, if you continue to honor yourself and to pull your attention from this person, you will make a quantum leap forward. because the narcissist must create chaos in your life. And if you think about it, a narcissist has all this root chakra trauma that is stuffed, that is repressed, and they've never been able to process. And they need to drag people into this trauma. And what better way to do that but then to activate your trauma, to make you feel unseen, to make you feel unworthy. So now we have two people who are highly activated, whose traumas are highly activated, and we're stuck. So in terms of karma, we're both in this paradigm, recreating childhood trauma, and we're stuck in the 3D world. So it literally is the past coming back to haunt us. And you can use the narcissistic relationship as a jumping off place to enhance your life and to move forward. Narcissists are not going to escape the paradigm. It's very sad, but it is what it is. Those of us who can sense that we're here for knowledge and inspiration and personal growth, who can become self-accountable, can really use these relationships as a springboard forward. And I hope that's what you're gaining from listening to these sessions. Another way that narcissists create chaos in your life, again, piggybacking off of the last offering, is this idea of triangulation. So what is the purpose of triangulation? Essentially, triangulation is about conquering and dividing. So what a narcissist will do, they have victim A, and then they bring in a third party, victim B. So with victim A, they're looking to exert power over. And victim B, they want to conquer. So victim A is conquered by manipulating what victim B thinks about victim A. So if you're dealing with a narcissist, this narcissist will go and talk to your friend at work and say things like, I know she's your friend, but I just want you to know that I'm really concerned about her because I heard that she has an eating disorder. Doesn't have to be true. The narcissist can go to victim B and talk about you, victim A, and imply that you're a liar. Doesn't have to be true. Victim B will then develop feelings about you that are negative. Now, how does that help a narcissist? Well, if the relationship between victim A and the narcissist fall apart, then the narcissist has already secured a form of narcissistic supply from victim B. So creating flying monkeys around you is a way that a narcissist creates trauma and chaos in your life. Narcissists use triangulation as a form of insurance. So imagine that you are married to a narcissist who is an alcoholic, who is in denial of his disease, and who is also squandering the family's money, gambling, and may even be cheating on you. I mean, that's a triple whammy. Narcissist, alcoholic, and is unfaithful. And a gambler. So, wow, actually, there's a lot going on there in that relationship. But this is the stuff that happens in life when we're dealing with someone who is narcissistic. Because narcissism often comes along with depression and addiction as well, rage, and sometimes even physical violence. So we need to be aware that these dynamics exist. We need to become very logical, very, very logical about what we're dealing with so that we can make decisions with the prefrontal lobe, which is the executive branch of our brain system that allows us to make decisions that are in our best interest. If we remain highly activated emotionally, then the limbic system is making our decisions for us, and we will stay in states of survival. We may acquiesce to a narcissist. We may never move forward. We may never find a support group. We may never seek out therapy. We may never file a police report. We may never file for divorce. We may never tell people what we're really dealing with. And so I think it's important that we recognize that thinking about what we're dealing with logically and using reason is very beneficial. So becoming less emotional and more logic and reasonable, balanced and harmonious, and accepting of what we're dealing with, meaning that in order for me to move forward, I have to accept that it's really this bad. A lot of us don't want to accept it. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. We think it's our fault. The narcissist has convinced us we're crazy. The narcissist has convinced us we're not seeing these text messages from the girlfriends, the boyfriends, the narcissist has convinced us even that if they are cheating, it's our fault. And so there's so much shame that oftentimes we don't even reveal to our best friends or our family what we're dealing with. And so coming out of the limbic system, learning how to self-regulate, learning how to soothe ourselves, moving into a state of non-resistance over this idea that, wow, it's really that bad, will really help you make executive type decisions when it comes to your life. So remember that triangulation is like an insurance policy. A narcissist is setting the stage for when and if the relationship falls apart. Even if the relationship never completely dissolves, the narcissist has been able to go to family, friends, and coworkers, create flying monkeys out of them and pitting them against you, which offers them a sense of domination. They feel dominant. They feel powerful. They feel in control over all of these chess pieces on a chessboard. So a flying monkey becomes a pawn, and you are a pawn on the narcissist's chessboard. And so that's what triangulation is about. So you go and you tell your coworker that you think that there's something up with the narcissist, and the coworker doesn't believe you. Why? Because the narcissist has already set the stage and has this coworker believing that you're not all there, or that you're a liar, or that you're inadequate, or that they're concerned about you. And this will create chaos in your life. Triangulation involves jealousy. So a narcissist brings in a third party and talks about this third party, says as this person is hitting on him or hitting on her. And it doesn't necessarily have to be true. Having you feel jealous makes them feel like you need them, that you love them, that you care about them. But they also enjoy you feeling or sensing that you feel unsure about whether or not the narcissist will stay with you. This, again, fuels their need to feel dominant and control and powerful in the relationship. Once you figure this out and you start to realize that that's why someone wants you to feel jealous, you can detach. You can say, I'm not playing that mind game. It is incredibly empowering, and I hope you use it. So I'm going to talk about the last thing that I think is really important for us to become aware of when we're dealing with narcissists in relationships and family and at work and even in society. This is someone who is antagonistic. This is someone who thrives in a chaotic situation. So for instance, let me use an analogy. So you imagine the new wife who is narcissistic marries a gentleman who has three daughters or a couple of daughters or even a couple of sons. The narcissistic female wants to dominate the dad. The narcissistic female will see the children as a threat. Over time, what the narcissistic female will do or can do, for instance, in this situation, is say things to the daughters and the son that are antagonistic. In turn, the children will go to the dad and say, Dad, Nancy said this, or Anna said this, or Mary said this. And if the dad then in turn confronts his new wife, the wife will then either lie about it or say, I knew your children didn't like me. Look what they're doing. They're trying to break us up. She will completely flip the scenario on the children and cause the father to think that the children are wrong, or the children are actually creating chaos, when in fact it's Nancy, it's Mary, or it's Anna that's created the chaos. In this situation, the narcissist is an antagonist. The narcissist now thrives in this chaotic situation. It's very, very common. You'll also see this at work, where a narcissist will create a bunch of tension in the office, and suddenly they are thriving in that situation and they take control. I know what we're going to do. I know how we're going to fix this, even though they created the entire scenario. And the reason that there is chaos is because of what they've done. They will thrive in that chaotic situation. In a situation when we're dealing with like a new wife and a dad who has now lied about the stepchildren and has antagonized the stepchildren and their relationship with their father, this is someone who is thriving in the chaos. So here, a father is now having a very difficult clash with his children. He's feeling wobbly. The kids are feeling insecure. There's chaos between the dad and his children. And who's thriving? The narcissistic stepmother. The narcissistic wife is thriving in this situation. She's dividing and she's conquering. And what is she doing? She's creating discord between the father and his children. Sometimes those relationships are not repairable. Sometimes when narcissists interfere in a situation like that, the dad or the mom in that situation lose their children and lose their grandchildren forever. And this is a serious consequence. And that's why I think it's so important that we teach these types of ideas in grammar school. We teach these ideas in high school. There should be college courses on narcissism and on codependency. We should be teaching our children about these red flags. We should be giving people the language so that they understand, oh, she's an antagonist. Oh, my stepmother just did this, or my stepdad just did this. People need to know that if they think they're dealing with someone who's narcissistic, record them. Record their conversations, video record them. Don't tell them what you're doing. I know it's illegal in some states, but oftentimes when you're dealing with an antagonist like this, they are so good. They're such good master manipulators. They will flip anything, any conversation that you've had with them. I had someone ask me for money a few years back, and it was a big sob story. I have to go here. I have to go here. I need this money. I have to go see my family, blah, blah, blah. And I gave this person the money that they needed to go see her family. Do you know that when this person returned and we had a conversation about me recouping this money, she said she never said she was going to pay me back. And I wish that I had recorded that conversation. The conversation in which she promised to pay me back. This person swore up and down, I never said that, and created discord with another family member, threw me under the bus, and made out like she was a victim. Then in addition said, on top of it said, well, if she loved me, she would have given me that money anyway. You cannot make this stuff up. You're dealing with someone who's highly narcissistic. They are designed to not hear you. They are all out for themselves. They take anything that they want. They leave tragedy and chaos in their wake, and they don't look back. And so I think it's important that those of us who come here to try to understand what's really going on is that we really dive in deep as to why someone who is a pathological narcissist or who has high levels of narcissism, why do they do this? Because the more you understand the why, the less wrapped up you are in trying to change them, the less wrapped up you are in trying to convince yourself that you're wrong. You will realize that this is a personality issue, that this is a mindset issue. This is a character flaw. These are that manifest as many, 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 many different character flaws. There is no healthy moral compass when you're dealing with someone who has high narcissism. And the quicker you figure that out, the better you will be. Namaste, everybody. I hope this has been helpful. Until next time, be safe out there. And when you're out and about, don't forget to think. And as always, I bow to the love and light that is absolutely in you.